spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. With the holiday season upcoming, Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Their gifts really do spark joy. We've given them to a lot of our friends. Tiggy gave me one where you can kind of like color in a photo. So we did one of the three of us in Vegas at the F1 race. So basically all of these gifts kind of have that. It's exactly what I wanted feeling. Somehow they know exactly what you can get for every single person on your list, from holiday gifts and hostess gifts, gifts for kids, gifts for sports fans and book lovers. It's literally everything that you need in one place, and it's all very unique. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. The three-week hiatus is almost over. We cannot wait for this last stretch of the season. It's hard to imagine. Like, I don't think we've had this exciting of a final stretch ever since we started the podcast, I would say, and definitely in a long time. So today we'll talk about the Vegas Grand Prix. We'll give you a quick little preview on what to expect. We did go last year. It was wild and overstimulating and everything you would expect from the first ever Vegas GP. Plus, Tiggy is going to be going in real life to the race. So gearing up for some amazing things. And Tiggy, I can't wait to talk to you all about that. So with that, I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. Yes, the rumors are true. I am in Vegas, have so many things planned. Can't wait to share with all of you a couple things to shout out. So one, we're doing a meetup tomorrow in collaboration with our friends at FanAmp. There are currently over 160 of you registered at the time of this recording to attend, which is just insane and amazing. It will be at Rock House in the Venetian on Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. So come and go as you please. We'll be giving out some small prizes. We have a little fun hot takes activity planned and can't wait to meet some of you. And second, if you have been listening to us for a while, you know that we recorded in that incredible studio at the Wynn last year in Vegas. So we're doing that again. This time we'll be doing a mailbag episode with questions from all of you. So thank you for submitting those. If you have any last minute questions, we are recording tomorrow. So DM us on Instagram if anything else pops up, but can't wait to dive into that. So for Vegas, this is basically brand new. I mean, they raced for the first time in recent history last year. F1 has raced in Vegas before in what was the Caesars Palace Grand Prix in 81 and 82, but different track and different setup, and it's been 40 years. So this is the iconic night race where they race down the strip under the lights. It is unfortunate for anyone on Central or Eastern time in the U.S. trying to watch this, because quali, I think, starts at 3 a.m. and the race at 1 a.m., but
it's insane. We're stoked. Sarah and I are on the East Coast, and we're still trying to figure out if we need to start adjusting our sleeping schedule.
Like, or right now.
Pound some Red Bull. We got to dig deep for this one. Otherwise, like, either we'll watch it live or we'll wake up at like 5 a.m. and do it the next morning. So we don't know. We'll see. But last year, the race itself, there was definitely some growing pains and things to be ironed out. There was a lot of drama, news, whatever you want to call it. But they have, and when I say they, I mean Formula One, because they actually own this race. It's their circuit. So they've done some changes, updates, and some things that will be top of mind this year. Okay, manhole gate. We talked about this last year, but basically during the practice sessions.
We were there for it. It was night one. FP1 or FP2, like, the drain hole cover came loose and absolutely ruined Carlos's floor. Just actually crazy damage. And we were actually at one of the rooftops where you could see the manhole and all the people crowding around it and trying to fix it. Yeah. So that was crazy.
And so this happens a lot of times on street circuits. Like, they do secure down the manholes, but, and it does pop up sometimes. But what really happened and the drama around this last year was that because it was a practice session and it was starting late at night, and then the manhole or the drain hole, whatever you want to call it, the repair of that took so long, they actually ended up kicking fans out
So fans who had bought tickets for this specific session did not end up getting to see the session. They did not get their money back. They got some sort of like voucher or coupon for merch that like wouldn't even let them get one piece of merch. So that was definitely something that they'll be considering in terms of fan experience. Also, more broadly, last year there were more concerns about inconvenience caused to businesses and locals. A lot of businesses actually, I'll give you some stats, but a lot of businesses say that they're actually set to lose money during the GP just through disruptions, traffic, things like that, the setup and teardown of the entire track in that big resort corridor. So F1 has been working to streamline that in terms of traffic, access, communication, all of that with the city to help not leave as much disruption for the businesses.
Another thing that was talked about a lot last year, and we've seen this, I think, with the first race at some of these locations, like Miami is another one that comes to mind, but the concerns around affordability and accessibility for fans. The circuit did this year in Vegas increase the availability of quote unquote reasonably priced tickets. Now, look, they're still very expensive. It is F1. It is Las Vegas. Yeah. But they have definitely changed and made an effort from last year where things were just absolutely crazy to this year. They have ticket packages that include 3-day passes under 1,000, single day race tickets for $499 tickets for Thursday's practice session. So still expensive, 100%, but starting to bring it down. And I'm sure as the years go on, hopefully it will continue to get lower and lower. In terms of economic impact, so last year, the Grand Prix generated $1.5 billion in economic impact, which was, I think it became one of the most lucrative events in the city's history. That said, a lot of the benefits flowed to casinos, F1 itself as the promoter, which led to a lot of the dissatisfaction we mentioned above. So we'll see if that's improved at all and if more of the money is flowing to local businesses and the community itself. But I guess time will tell.
Time will tell. So for the circuit itself, it's wild. Like we said, it's practically brand new. It was paved and laid all last year. I mean, it's on existing streets, but it was really amped up for this purpose specifically. All but four corners of the lap are on existing roads. So they had to use 60,000 tons of base layer and 43,000 more for race layer paving. So I think it'll be really smooth. Besides last year with the drain hole popping up, it actually looked like a pretty good ride. It starts in what was a former parking lot, which F1 bought. So that's what I mean. They're not working with existing circuits or promoters. They bought a parking lot for $250 million, and that's where the paddock and the pits are all going to be. The kind of iconic part of this entire circuit is the 1.4 mile stretch of the world famous Las Vegas Boulevard, the Strip. So it's really exciting there. They're also bringing a lot of temporary lights because even though there will be lights from hotels and other things, it is going to be extremely, extremely dark. And we've talked about this too, because you have the lights that they're bringing, the lights from the hotels. It's like Times Square vibes where you're seeing all these different colors and flashes, and it's got to be extremely overstimulating on the driver's eyes and their visibility. So that's one thing to really, really think about in terms of sort of where people will be sitting around the circuit. It's 18 temporary grandstands, 10 hospitality structures, 12 ticketed zones. The tickets usually, I think the same one thing this year as last year, they include food and drink. So it's like a big spectacle. And the pit building is the length of 3 American football fields. It's an incredibly built out, snazzy race. It's going to be 50 laps. The track is 6.2 kilometers. There's 2 DRS zones and that super long straight, like I said.
So what kind of racing can we expect? Creating a track with good racing was definitely a focus here from the beginning. And I will say, after the manhole situation on the practice session, the race did not disappoint. It was one of the best races all season. Yes, Max still did win, but it was incredible racing all around, just super, super fun. So the average speed, part of what makes it so fun is that the average speed is supposedly just as fast as Monza, which is known lovingly in the F1 world as the Temple of Speed. Cars are supposed to reach a top speed of 212 miles per hour. It's also a bit of a wider track despite being a street circuit. So people are expecting cars to be able to pass much more easily than a place like Monaco, for example. We definitely saw that last year. One thing, though, is it is expected to be cold. I was just looking at the temperature and low, this is in Fahrenheit, but lows are in the 30s, like the high 30s.
That's insane.
And highs are only in the 60s. And if we remember, it's a night race, so the temperatures are going to be pretty low. And F1's had some experience with that, like preseason testing in certain places like Spain has been pretty cold in the past, but it definitely has an effect on tire warm-up and drivers needing multiple laps to warm their tires. That can present strategy complications, so just something to look out for.
In terms of last year's race, really quickly, like Tiggy said, Max won, and he won from starting in second, so a little bit of a victory drive for him. And then in P2 we had Charles, and then we had Checo in P3. There was definitely a big battle here among the top three. We saw the race changer switch up a bunch, so it was really exciting in the end, even if Max was the one that won. And then sort of the big news here from this weekend was Checo securing second in the Drivers' Championship. So this was Red Bull's first ever 1-2 in the Drivers' Championship. Oh, how times have changed, but that's kind of what happened last year.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The holidays are coming, and they are a great chance for self-reflection, goal setting, and connecting with loved ones. And learning a new language goes hand in hand with this, since it opens doors to meaningful conversation, enriching experiences, and of course, personal development. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Personally, my extended family all speaks Italian, so I'm using Rosetta Stone to brush up on my skills before seeing them all for the holidays. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. Plus, it's super intuitive to use and fully immersive and designed for fast language acquisition. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Paddock Project listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving. For a gift that's always on time and lasts a lifetime, you can't do better than Masterclass. With Masterclass, your loved ones can learn from the best to become their best. Just take a look at the iconic teacher lineup, including Anna Wintour, Kris Jenner, and Gordon Ramsay. It's the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 of the world's best. That's why Wirecutter calls it an invaluable gift. These classes are the perfect gift, and they really do make a difference. 88% of Masterclass members feel that it's made a positive impact on their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/forthegirls for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/forthegirls.
The end of the season, the end of the F1 season is upon us. And as we're busy going to races and wrapping up everything, we are trying to do everything we can to feel our best. And one thing that we have been using to help us are our Happy Mammoth products. We've been using them for a while, especially Estro Control. It really helps us support our hormones and alleviate those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. It also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health, which is really good as we're really busy and wrapping up and heading into holiday party season. Happy Mammoth, who also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement, it's a brand that's dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromises when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
So for teams, McLaren, their number one priority here is going to be maintaining the Constructors' Championship lead. Lando is still technically, mathematically in the fight for the Drivers' Championship. If he finishes ahead of Max, And then if he's P4 or below, he also has to get the fastest lap, I believe. But the math is very complicated. Realistically, Max will be taking the Drivers' Championship, whether it is in Vegas or Qatar or Abu Dhabi. We'll see how long Lando can keep the fight alive. But given that it's unlikely for Lando to win Drivers with only 3 races left, a big points hill to climb, it might mean that we won't see as much team orders happening between Oscar and Lando. Now, this is a big might. I guess we'll see what happens. But with Ferrari closing in, they might want to play it safe, keep prioritizing Lando, or just, you know, maintain the order if Oscar is ahead instead of risking anything. So I guess that is something to look out for this race, is how does Papaya rules evolve in this situation when Drivers is looking unlikely?
I feel like Papaya rules was such a funny thing when it happened for the first time this season. And it was only because, or it felt so crazy because that we had never really felt like there could be a true challenger to Max. But so when Papaya rules happened, everyone was like, oh my God, like this is a big deal. Like there's so much happening. But I think you're right, Tiggy, in that I think McLaren is just going to try to prioritize staying in first in the constructors. And so whatever it will take to lead to the least amount of drama on track and the least likelihood of their cars crashing out against each other is what will prevail. For Ferrari, the team is really confident about this weekend. In press interviews this week and last week, Charles said that they do feel like they have a really good shot at winning. They have some good momentum coming into this weekend, but there is one slight issue, and it's that Charles's car might need a full power unit component replacement, which would likely result in a grid penalty for the Vegas race. So he's already reached the 5 gearbox limit on his car, as well as the limit for the MGUH and K, the engine, the turbocharger, energy store, his control electronics, basically everything. So if Ferrari does decide to swap the parts with a new power unit, he will be starting at the back of the grid. Feels like the timing could not be worse. And we will know. We are recording this earlier in the week, so if any Ferrari news does break about this, we'll let you know. But this is a huge implication because although Ferrari is second in constructors, they're going to have to be fighting for that with Red Bull. They could easily come into third. And on the other hand, they could easily try to surpass McLaren too. So I think there's a lot to think about here, and it's not as easy as it might have been for them to just take this penalty given that they weren't really in this position.
Yes. For Red Bull, this race equally is very important for the team to see if they can push back toward the top of the grid with regards to constructors. It's been 15 years since a team with a winning driver did not come first or second in the Constructors' Championship. So they will be definitely wanting to avoid this. And I think Checo, more than anyone, will be wanting to avoid that because it just really highlights the unfortunate bummer that is Checo's season so far. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Red Bull will pull it out of the bag? If they don't, and if they do finish third, I know I feel like we've talked ad nauseum about Checo's future and it's all just speculation, but where, like, I don't know how they justify keeping him if that's the case.
Even if they win constructors, I don't think it was worth the panic and the heart attack and the stress of whatever this back half of the season has been. So I think regardless of where they end up in constructors, it's probably separate at this point from the are we keeping Checo conversation. With that being said, if they come third, I think it's like, yeah, you're out, buddy. Like, for sure.
Nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
But I guess then the question is, do they promote Yuki? Do they promote Liam? Do they slide Franco Colapinto in from nowhere, left center stage? Like, what happens?
I could
happen?
See them putting Yuki in Checo's spot and then having a Franco-Liam lineup next year, because we'll talk about this. They still haven't announced who Yuki's teammate will be.
I know. So that's going to be interesting. One last final thing about Red Bull. The team had revealed a livery initially planned, a new livery planned for Max's car, but they've since decided not to use it for design and logistical considerations. So that's too bad. But Max
was a bummer.
Will just have to shine on his own in his normal car down the strip.
I know. He doesn't get an F1 Vegas-themed car, sadly. For Mercedes, for these last few races, I think we'll just be, sorry, Tiggy, looking to see if Lewis can end his career on a good high. It's been such an incredible time with Mercedes, and this season was so tough, obviously, with the move announced, which was on his own accord. But I think, I don't know if it was because he made the move so early in the season. It basically, kind of early on in this season, it looked like the team just decided to focus on next year's car, of course, the 2026 car, and sort of hold off putting so many resources towards upgrading the current car this season. And I think that of course, reflected negatively on Lewis's last season with the team. So bummer there. Last thing on Mercedes too is we loved all of your DMs about the Inside Mercedes F1 book interview we did. It was so amazing, and we loved that you all responded so well to it.
For Alpine, I don't think they can go up from the insane double podium that they had in Brazil, but they probably know that, so they won't be expecting anything like that again. But let's hope that they can keep a double points finishing streak. They are six in constructors right now, so they're 37 points behind Aston Martin, which means there is a chance that they could outperform again, keep bumping up in these last three races, millions of dollars on the line as a reminder based on where you finish in constructors. So they'll just want to, I think, finish on a high note and forget the rest of the beginning of the season they've had and hopefully start 2025 off strong. But
it's so funny because last year I feel like my tagline for Alpine was like, there's only up to go from here. And it honestly feels like at this point, based on last race, there's only down to go from here. But
oh, no.
Hoping for the best. For Aston Martin, okay, the team has been a little bit busy over this mini break with some cool new deals. They announced a multi-year partnership with Xerox for the 2025 season, which will be unveiled this weekend at the GP. Not sure how you throw a Xerox Aston Martin party in Vegas, but I'm sure it will be interesting nonetheless. Tiggy, let us know if you get eyes on that one.
Not currently in the plans, but you never know. Xerox.
Okay, maybe there's like free printing or something. Plus, they've also committed to a long-term partnership with Puma, which will also launch in 2025. So cool new deals. Looks like Lawrence Stroll is fully focused on building out the future of this team. And I want to spend just 1 minute on an interesting debate that we had last week. We were doing an event at Columbia University, and someone asked the most amazing question, which was, if Lawrence Stroll is putting so much money and funds into the team, aka hiring Adrian Newey, does he keep the team? Like, clearly it means that he wants a championship winning team. Does he keep his own son in the seat if that's going to hinder that? AKA, is Lance Stroll a world championship driver who just hasn't had the right car?
I'm convinced that no, Lance Stroll is not a world championship caliber driver, even if he has the fastest car on the grid. I would love to be proven wrong, but I'm sort of convinced at this point that Lawrence Stroll is just going to double down on his son until the end of time. Like, regardless of how much money is at stake, like his, it actually was very sweet. I think it was the last Drive to Survive season, kind of seeing him talk about the relationship with his son and how he is very much his son, and what happens on track is just kind of the business side of things, but he's a son first. And I actually thought that was a very sweet angle, but I also feel like Lance is not going anywhere as long as Lawrence Stroll is in control, unless Lance decides of his own accord that he is ready for business school, which we'll see. For VCARB, so the battle for P6 and constructors looking very, very tight. Currently, VCARB is in P8 with 44 points, but they're very close to Haas in P7 with 46 and Alpine in P6 with 49. So this will definitely be a battle to keep an eye out for. And the big open question here is Yuki's teammate for next year. This is the final unconfirmed seat for 2025. Obviously, we had Danny leave in Austin earlier this season, and Liam has stepped into that role, but it has not been confirmed that he will be racing full time in 2025. So what do you think, Chesso? Who do you think takes that seat? Is it the Franco Liam duo and then Yuki in the Red Bull seat for you?
I think it would be crazy for them to keep Yuki and well, I think Liam will get it, right? And I think it would be crazy for them to take a rookie in the Red Bull instead of putting the rookie in VCARB. So I think Yuki could get promoted, and then we'll have a double rookie combo at VCARB, my favorite.
Yeah, I also feel like the stakes are always high in Formula One, but with 2025, only 1 year before a massive regulation change where everything is going to be changing anyway, the stakes to me feel a little lower for who gets signed for that Red Bull seat because it just could be a 1 year thing.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I feel like they should give it to Yuki, to your point. Like, they've developed him. That's the whole point, theoretically, of VCARB as a team and a concept. But yeah, it also feels like the stakes are a little bit lower for just 1 year before a massive 2026 shift. So
that's a great take. I hadn't thought of it that way before. For Haas, in press this week, Magnussen hinted at some sort of decision that he's reaching with the team that aligns with his long-term aspirations and the goals of the team. So even though we won't see him driving, it looks like he'll be sticking around in some other capacity. For Williams, there have been some wild rumors that Williams was going to sit out the Vegas GP. They confirmed, of course, that this is not true. I think the rumors kind of just came from some reports of alleged logistical and operational hurdles, but they've assured everyone that has been resolved and they will be, in fact, racing at the Vegas GP, which makes sense.
There have been some wild rumors, I feel like, lately. When we have these long 2 to 3 week breaks in Formula One, the rumor mill just kind of gets out of hand. Like, there were rumors that Stefano Domenicali was stepping down, Williams wasn't racing in Vegas, the Lewis living in Enzo Ferrari's mansion, which apparently is not true. Like, there's just so many things happening that I feel like people are just bored, but we tend to report on things when they are confirmed by official outlets.
That was just a fun one. I had to throw it in there.
Yeah. For Stake, the only team that continues to have 0 points this entire season, but we do need to talk about the Bottas redemption arc, the Iron Man at home, the tattoo of what's next, the commitment to the bit on the what's next thing. It's just kind of unmatched. So I think one thought on the Bottas thing, I feel like people have been talking about, was it fair for him, A, to like have his career be announced or his future at Stake being announced jointly with Joe? I feel like it's nice that they did it together at the team, but also they are definitely different drivers. Bottas has been in the sport for a really long time. If this is really it for his F1 career, that feels a little maybe like he got short shrifted.
Yeah. And
then also the rumors of what's next, people are saying maybe he'll be a reserve driver for Mercedes or even Red Bull or somewhere else. He's an iconic number two driver, just an iconic driver, period, but number two driver. He's been very loyal in the past. So I wonder what will happen. But if it is the end of his full-time F1 career, it's kind of sad that he just withered away in this car that couldn't deliver anything for him. So I hope for his sake that that's not goodbye.
This is a hot take, but I kind of hope that this is goodbye for him, because I don't want to see him in some sort of like reserve driver role. I think he's too cool and his personality is too strong for him to do that. So I want to see him go out and like do an extreme, a new career, a new life in extreme sports, and just generally being a really cool guy. I think he could do a lot of things. And I think like lifestyle branding and marketing wise, he could really do a lot. So I could even see like, you know, Liquid Death Water, like Bottas edition, something cool like that, where you take a really cool spin on something so normal.
But I feel like he could do that while also driving. Maybe he can do, because he's like currently doing all this stuff now. Maybe that's because he's not in a car that can deliver him points, so he doesn't have to like take it as seriously. But I feel like he's always been able to balance a lot of things.
That's true.
I guess time will tell. But hot takes and predictions for me, I think because we're talking about Vegas here, if I were at a casino, I'd probably bet against my own hot take. But I'm going to say Lando will keep the championship fight alive through Vegas at least, nice. Which means he will finish ahead of Max and get enough points mathematically to keep it alive. And my other hot take is that Liam will get announced for the V-carb seat, either heading into the Vegas Grand Prix or shortly after.
Love it. Okay, my hot take is that the Checo out announcement will be made and that V-carb bumps up from P8 to P6 in constructors.
Wow. So,
yeah, I know. It'll be a cool one. For really quick before we wrap up, Tiggy, tell us what to expect from you this weekend. Any major highlights that we should look out for?
Major highlights. Okay, so by the time that this episode is released on Thursday morning, I will have been to the Carmen Munt dinner. It's hosted by WhatsApp and Mercedes, and Carmen is George's girlfriend, for those who don't know. I love the theme of the dinner. It's called Her Turn. So it's basically celebrating like women doing cool things in motorsport, kind of all throughout the space, which is so cool. An honor to be invited. Very excited to go to that. Thursday, gosh, what am I doing Thursday? Oh, doing some stuff with Dermalogica, which is very fun. So they have a suite at the track, which I think a lot of creators are going to, but they have a big fan fest activation in Vegas. And it's been cool to see some of the more beauty and wellness brands getting into the sport. So excited to spend some time with them and the other creators there. And then Friday and Saturday, we are with Marriott Bonvoy for the weekend. So we'll be doing some Marriott content as well as Mercedes, because they have a big partnership with Mercedes. So look out for that. And then, of course, the meetup, the studio recording. There is an F1 Academy and Female Quotient event on Friday, which you have to RSVP for if you haven't already. That's at the Wynn. And then tons of other like activations and things. Crazy. Tessa, you're probably like feeling exhausted even hearing all of this.
I am. The only thing is, I think I should – let's FaceTime after this so I can teach you how to play craps, which is my favorite game.
Sounds good.
I don't. Maybe you won't even have time for that though. It sounds incredible. It's going to be literally so fun to watch.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, with that, thank you all for listening to our Vegas Grand Prix preview. We cannot wait for this race, and we just can't wait to watch Tiggy shine this weekend.
Woohoo!
Bye.